Now I see great. Hallelujah, I stand in bed. I'm staring at an empty bed.
What's walking out in the crowd here? We are so glad you're here on this Memorial Day weekend. I understand, do you see all those empty seats around you? Those people are in traffic going to Folly Beach right now. All right. As you finish up shaking hands and welcoming each other, I want to talk real quick a couple of verses that will come up, I hope on the screen, Joe, because that's where I'm going to read them from. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, as we think about this Memorial Day weekend and what it represents, I heard someone say, you don't really say happy Memorial Day because it's a very reflective time of thanking those who've made the ultimate sacrifice so that we can do what we're doing right here, worship together. Let me read this with you. So encourage each other to build each other up just as you are already doing. That was it. All right. Let me look in my... There's the verses here that we have in today's sermon. Let me read this one for you. Because in James chapter 4, it says that the wars and battles that we are involved in around the world are all because of pride. And we realize that not only the wars that our world is dealing with, but the difficulties in individuals... that God can help us with that. And today we want to lift up in prayer the families of those who have lost soldiers, seamen, Coast Guard members all through the years. And we'll see some videos here in a little bit about that as well. Let's pray before we have our music time. Lord, thank you for this time together. We love you and thank you for all your many blessings. We thank you for the music that speaks to our hearts. And Lord, in this Memorial Day weekend, remind us to think of those who have sacrificed. So we have the freedom to worship. We have the freedom to share your word wherever we go. The freedom to love one another. We thank you for that. We love you now and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. King, and I think Pastor Kevin, when he was going out of town, said, hey, this is Memorial Day weekend. Some of you were looking toward the series that's continuing on the word grace. So that will pick up again next week. Don't get mad at Kevin. Give him some grace. Is that a good segue there? But Memorial Day weekend is a weekend where we usually have a message that really reminds us to remember. That's the key word, remembering, reflecting. And I was coming up with a top 10 list of things we should never forget, you know, things to remember. All right, so these are, let's look what we got here. Top 10 list. This is not in your outline, but just enjoy this. Number one, or I'm going to start at 10. Don't forget your passwords. How many of you have like 1,000 passwords and you have to reset every time you get on the computer? You know, let's see, what was that? Okay, did you forget your password? Yes, and you start over. All right, number 9, your keys. Anybody else have that problem? Okay. I don't know if Drew's not here today. Where's my friend? My friend over here whose husband is the sheriff. Is that Crystal? Is that right? What's your husband's name? Bill. I'm sorry he's not here because I'm going to tell this. I haven't told this story in a while. This is a key, lost key story. Locked him in the car, actually. I was up at Kickin' Chicken in Somerville. Now, that's not, you know, it's not right down the street. And I'm talking to my dad on the phone, and I shut the door, got out of the car. Car's locked. I look back in. Not only are my keys in there, also my credit card, my driver, everything's in there, and it's locked. Went around the back of the car where I used to have a little magnet. You ever have one of those little magnets that has a key in there? Got up in there. It was gone. How did that happen? Alan, how does that happen? Man, that magnet's tight. I couldn't even pull it off. So anyway, so I turn around. I thought, here we go. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. I turn around. There's two police officers, two sheriffs walking up toward Kickin' Chicken. And I said, sir. And they turn around. It was Bill and Drew Helms from the youth group. They said, hey, Pastor John. Now, again, this isn't right down the street. This is in Somerville at Kickin' Chicken. And so, sure enough, I think Bill drove all the way across the county to get one of those things you get in the car. I didn't have a credit card. Drew bought my lunch. It was like this amazing thing, this horrible moment that God turned around. But so the reminder there is don't remember your keys. Don't lose your keys, all right? And number eight, here we go, flying through here, your wallet or your phone. Used to be your wallet was number one. I think the phone now is like you'll drive back home to get your phone. If somebody loses your phone, you've lost everything. You've lost everybody's phone number. You know, it's just tough. I could tell another story about that, but we'll hold off on that one. Number seven, your anniversary. I just got a question here. How many of you have an anniversary in the month of May? Anybody? I know we got one. Anybody? Nobody can remember? So let's just real quick. January, February, March, April. Now, if your spouse raises their hand, you probably ought to raise yours too. April, May, June. That used to be the big month, didn't it? June, July, August, September, October, November. Anybody else? December. Mine's in December. How about that? So don't forget your anniversary. I'm not going to ask for any confessions on that one. All right, number six. Don't forget your spouse, child's, or parent's birthday. That's a tough one. Anybody have a birthday in the month of May? Look around a little bit. There you go. How many have had a birthday in the last 365 days? Should we sing happy birthday? We didn't forget anybody's birthday. That's good. Joe had one this week, didn't you? So I almost snuck by without telling it happy birthday, but we did. Number five, your roots. Wow, the history of where you came from. All right, number four, your great teachers and coaches. You know, you can get, if you start talking about teachers that had an impact on your life and coaches, it could get very emotional because some of those teachers truly had a tremendous impact on your life. Number three, your spiritual mentors. Who was it that led you to Christ? Who was it that invited you to church? Who is your Sunday school teacher, your small group leader, your pastor, youth pastor, whatever, in that children's worker? Number two, we should not forget your freedom and the price that's been paid for it, our freedom that we have every day. And number one, don't forget Jesus dying on the cross for you and me. You know, we always have our little commitment time at the end. There's communion stations. And sometimes, you know, we don't have time to really emphasize that we could spend an hour talking about just what that means. And on this Memorial Day weekend, we think of the soldiers and the Navy folks and all those folks who've died, the pilots, everybody that's given their life for us to have this freedom. But when we think about Jesus and the total sacrifice he made, it's represented in that juice and that bread that we partake of. And each week we have that opportunity. So there's a top 10 list of things to remember. Now, Memorial Day weekend, a couple stats here for you. These aren't on the screen. These are just going to be for you. 89% of people are off of work on Memorial Day. You know who has to work are the law enforcement and the ambulance folks because it is the weekend where you have the most deaths on the highway. Did you know that? I mean, think about those poor folk. They're out there having to take care of those accidents on the road. 1865 was the first year that they celebrated or remembered, I should say, those who had given their life in I called it Decoration Day back then. It was in New York. Decoration Day, Waterloo, New York. Ray, do you know where that is? I don't know where Waterloo is. I thought it was over in Europe somewhere. But it's up in the upstate. So they had originally called Decoration Day. It was not an official holiday till 1971. How about that? 43.8 million people, I like the way they phrase this, are expected to roam at least 50 miles from home. It's like not travel, you're roaming out there. Almost 44 million people will be traveling away from home. And I think Pastor Kevin shared this one time, 85 million hot dogs will be eaten. The number one barbecue sauce is hickory, number two, mesquite, and then honey, and then Jason's favorite, spicy hot. Yes. I know that, as I said, it's very solemn to think through, but also a time of thanksgiving for all that was done. I'll never forget, it was the Friday after 9/11, and I was at the high school. There was a pep rally. 9/11 happened on a Tuesday. I went over to the pep rally on Friday, and the band was playing the national anthem. And I mean, I was literally in tears thinking about what that meant. And so I hope that we will keep that in mind as well. Now, kind of a catchy title here for this message, and we'll talk about it. When is it right to fight? You know, we're always taught, you know, there's one of the things we try to avoid, right? And look what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Live at peace with everyone. Now, all of us know folks in our life that's just hard to get along. There's some personalities that are just difficult. There's some folks that, and it doesn't say you have to be their best friend and buddy and stay with them all the time. But to get along with folks, to be around folks, we pick very carefully who our friends are, people that don't drag us down, that drain us of our spiritual energy, for instance. But we choose friends, but we also try to live at peace as much as possible. So the first point there, you have your outline, you can write in some of these blanks there. What is the real cause of war? What is the real cause of war and conflict? Do you realize in the however many years, let's see, what are we on now in the years of American, somebody that's a good mathematician, we're approaching 250 pretty soon, right? In our nation's numbers of years, is that right? What are we coming up on, 248, 250? So here's the deal. Out of all the years that the United States has existed, there have only been 17 years when there was no war at all going on. Isn't that hard to believe? Peace is rare. In our world's recorded history, 3,500 years of recorded history, only 270 years did not have a major war going on somewhere in the world. All of that time. Well, why is that? There's two words, selfishness and pride. Selfishness and pride. It says in James chapter 4, where do these wars and battles between yourselves first start? Isn't it precisely in the desires fighting inside your own selves? You want something that you haven't got it. So you're prepared to kill. You have an ambition you can't satisfy. So you fight to get your way by force. So whenever there's a battle between two nations, a battle maybe between two businesses, a battle between an employer, an employee, or labor and management, or a husband and wife even, or child and a parent, you can look back at selfishness and pride. Those are some of the things that the Bible teaches us to deal with. Let Christ work through that, work in us to deal with those problems. And look what it says in Proverbs chapter 13, great wisdom. Proverbs 13:10, it says, the effect of pride is fighting. So be very careful that we don't get prideful, that we don't look down on others. Number two, this may surprise you here. Is it ever right to fight? And you see it right there, yes. Ah, what is, oh boy. Are the children all over in the other building? Okay, so here you go. They go home and say, hey, they told us we could fight. Yeah. Well, let's look at why that is. There are times when fighting will cause less harm in the long run than not fighting. Look at Ecclesiastes 3:8. You know this whole passage. You know, there's a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to live, a time to die, a time for war, and a time for peace. There's a time for every season. Sometimes war is the right thing. We're going to talk about three reasons, but and sometimes it's the wrong thing. We see that as well. But you know, in the Bible, you see God, some of the greatest leaders in Scripture were the warriors. David, Joshua, Gideon, Samson, great warriors. And when the time was right, they did what they had to do for God's people. Now look at these three reasons why this is a time to fight or go to war. And we used to have topics, I mean, in seminary, this was a big issue. It was a big debate about, is there such a thing as a justified war? And I think the answer is right here. Let's look and see what the Scripture says about it. First of all, number one, it's okay if we need to fight to preserve freedom. To preserve freedom. There are many times in the Bible where this happens. The Midianites were an oppressive people that God saw their evil actions. They were all kinds of things, like they were throwing babies in the fires. And he told his people to defeat them because of their evil, a terrible, atrocious culture. We see that sometimes in our world today. If you go back and look, and without getting into all of my opinions on everything, but if you go back and look at October 7th, what happened over in Israel, it will blow your mind. You realize that 9/11, we had 3,000 folks who died here in the United States, right there, New York City, Washington, D.C., and Pennsylvania. Israel had 1,200 to 1,400 people that were killed. If you carry that out to the same ratio as the United States, that is 40,000 deaths. If we'd had 40,000 deaths on 9/11, what would our response have been? So there's the question, to preserve freedom against evil in this world. And so another time that it's right, and let's look at number two, is to defend innocent people. To defend innocent people. When justice is done, it brings joy to the righteous, but terror to the evildoers. Another verse out of Proverbs. Interesting. Justice. We hear that word a lot today. You can circle that word justice, because Christians are, we're not just interested in peace. We want peace, but we want it with justice. Protecting those who are innocent in those situations. Now, you might say, well, John, there's nobody innocent. We're all sinners. That's true. But there are situations in this world where innocent people are being hurt and even killed. This is a quote from John Stuart Mill. He says, a man who has nothing, or man or woman, who has nothing which he is willing to fight for, nothing which he cares about more than his own personal safety, is a miserable creature who has no chance of being free. Wow, quite a statement. To preserve freedom, to defend innocent people. Now, I mean, you're going to see later on, we're going to watch one other video at the end about the freedom to worship. And let me say this, I mean, I'm kind of stepping back a little bit to the preserve freedom. We take for granted the fact that we can come in here and sing and play and pray and have fellowship and listen to a message. I went with my brother's choir over to Vienna, Austria, and we sang in the downtown area there. On Sunday, we went to worship in this little church, and they said, here's what they said, we can't sing too loud. We will be reported to the police. That's in Austria. I mean, we think that won't ever happen here in the United States. There is a freedom to worship that we do not need to take for granted. Those folks over there, places in Europe where you cannot walk up to somebody and start talking about Christ on the streets because you are proselytizing or you are that considered hate speech of some sort. Well, we have that freedom to share the good news. We don't need to take that for granted. The third one, we have to preserve freedom, to defend innocent people, and to stop the spread of evil. The Bible makes clear that God has authorized our government to enforce law and punish offenders. Look at Romans chapter 13. Great chapter if you get a chance to read that sometimes. It'll bring up a lot of questions as you read through it, but read this. It says, government is there to serve God for your benefit. If you break the law, however, you may well have fear. He does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of justice to bring punishment on the wrongdoers. So three facts that kind of filter in right here. Number one, we live in a fallen world. Number two, every person has sinned. And whenever there is sin, people hurt each other. And unfortunately, we see that in our world today. I mean, I don't know if you watch any of the... I almost have to turn the channel or turn off the phone, the videos that are coming up of people just on the street that are just walking up and pounding people. They're just... evil is out there. And we have to be aware that that's why we have law enforcement. Now, I say this. I was driving to Bible study one day, and I don't know... Jason, we were over at Miss June Reynolds. You remember going over there for Bible small group Bible study? And we're on our way, and I had to tell the group a couple of times that I got pulled over driving to Bible study. Yes, John, you rolled through the stop sign again. No, so that police officer, actually the sheriff, he comes up to my door, and I said, man, I am so sorry. I know why you're pulling me over. I rolled through the sign, didn't I? I said, yeah, and I said, here I am on the way to Bible study. And so I said, Romans chapter 13, I understand. You're doing your job, and I messed up. So he gave me a warning, thank heavens. So afterwards, went to Paisano's for pizza. Guess who's sitting there? The sheriff. And I said, as I walked by, I said, Romans 13. Yeah, just a reminder that his job is actually ordained by God. That's pretty neat, if you think about it. I used to think when I first started driving... some of you guys, first-time drivers, you know, you get that license and you're out there, and I'm driving along. I look in the rearview mirror, and there's a policeman right behind me. And I'm thinking, oh, no, you know. That's my first thought. Oh, no. My second thought was, this is not bad. What if I have a flat tire? What if I get something else and the car breaks down? I've got help. Maybe that's how we ought to look at it. You know, instead of, what's he looking for? My blinker out? I got one other confession. Jason, I'm sorry. I got on these pulled over stories. On Christmas Day, I had to ask permission from Becca on this one. I said, Becca, does somebody want me to do a wedding up in Myrtle Beach on Christmas night? And it wasn't during the morning. It was in the... I said, it's Christmas night. I said, I won't do it unless you say it's okay. I said, that's fine. You can do that. And whatever you get for doing the wedding, feel free to pass it on. Right. So I'm coming out. You know, it's getting dark early at that time of the year, right? I'm coming out. Here go the blue lights in Myrtle Beach on Christmas. I'm getting pulled over. So I pull over to the side road. You guys are not going to let anybody ride with me anymore, are you? So I get pulled over, and I'm thinking this big, scruffy, mean-looking police officer is going to come up there. Don't tell Bill I said that, Crystal. I look up and I said, yes, sir. And it's a beautiful young lady. And she says, your license light is burnt out. There's a light that is on your license plate. If it's burnt out, they'll pull you over. And I said, I am so sorry about that. I'll get that fixed as soon as I get back to Charleston. Here on Christmas Day, and again, thank heavens, a warning. So it happens, but we ought to be thankful for those folks. And you think about Memorial Day. Think about all the people that are off work, and those folks are having to work to protect us. There are times that fighting to preserve freedom, to defend innocent people, to stop the spread of evil. I know one other story that if you haven't ever read about a guy, and I'm not even going to spell it out. It's not on the screen. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, unusual name. He was a Lutheran priest. He was a priest in Germany. in the 1930s and 40s. Bonhoeffer, B-O-N-H-O-E, I did spell it out, H-O-E-F-F-E-R, in case you want to look it up. And I would encourage you to do this. He was a priest who realized what Adolf Hitler was doing. He was a priest who realized what the Nazis were doing to the Jews. He became part of a plot to assassinate Hitler. Now, can you imagine the strain and the stress and the difficult decision as a minister, as a pastor, as a priest, to go through that? He was hanged by the Nazis 28 days before Germany was liberated by the Allies. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I would encourage you to read his biography. Eric Metaxas has written it. There's a lot of other great lessons. But it talks about the struggle that he went through. What do I do? I see this evil taking place. What do we do? And a lot of it relates to our world today even. What do we see around us? How do we deal with it? But Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a hero who decided at some point that he had to try to preserve freedom, defend innocent people, and stop evil in the world. Number three there. Will the world ever have, it says permanent peace, but I say peace. Will the world ever have peace? Yes. We don't, I'll tell you this. This is probably my weakness in all of theology. My weakness is probably on the second coming. Because I can't tell you what's going to happen. We'll see in a minute. It says no one knows, you know. But we have people who say this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and it's going to be just like this and this. And all I know is there are a few things that we read that tell us that when Jesus returns, there will be a time of peace. Let's read this in the book of Isaiah chapter 2. And it says, Jesus, he will settle disputes among nations. They will hammer their swords into plows and their spears into pruning knives. Nations will never again go to war and never prepare for battle again. Now, interestingly enough, that sounds good, doesn't it? No wars ever again. Believe it or not, this part of this verse is at the United Nations where it talks about they're going to hammer their swords into plowshares, and there will be peace. However, they forgot one important part, that it will come through Jesus. They forgot that. They think it's going to come through human effort, which we need to have efforts to bring peace, but to know the ultimate peace will only come through Jesus Christ. We put our faith and we put our trust in Him. And then, can you ever say, you know, right now in Ukraine and in Israel and Gaza, over in Africa, there are battles. In Haiti, we're going to hear something about that in a minute. There are battles going on right now. I mean, incredible pain. I did a wedding down in Savannah. I may have told some of you this. And the groom is a tank commander. He's in charge of one of those incredible tanks. And the guy that was with him, his best man, was also serving as a tank personnel. So I asked a question I guess I should not have asked, as I found out they had just returned from Lithuania. As a matter of fact, the photographer shows up. Guess where she's from? Lithuania. What are the chances of that, right? So we're talking, and I asked the question of these two gentlemen. I said, have you guys been in Ukraine? They looked at each other, and neither one of them answered the question. We need to pray for our world, pray for our troops. I don't know what that meant. They may not be able to say anything about it. They did tell me they had been to Lithuania, though. But we need to pray for those folks. Will there ever be permanent peace? Are these the final wars, the ones that we're talking about right now? And the answer is, of course, no one knows. Everyone wants to know if this war is the last one. Is it leading up to the second coming of Christ? We don't know. It could be, but we just don't know. The Bible says that one day there will be a climactic battle, but we don't know when it's going to happen. As I said, I'm not an expert in this area, but we know somebody who is, and that's Jesus. Jesus has given us thoughts about what's going to happen in the end. Look in Luke chapter 21, this passage here says, "Don't be fooled. Many will come in my name saying, 'I am he,' and the time has come. But don't follow them. Don't be afraid when you hear of wars and rumors of war, revolution. Such things must happen, but they do not mean the end is near. Countries will fight each other and kingdoms will attack one another." So he's saying, don't be fooled by people who come along and say, "Hey, this is happening, so next year Jesus is coming back on June 28th. You know, you have all these predictions. You've seen these predictions over and over, and they've all fallen short. How many times do we hear that? And then you say, there have been all these folks that say, this is when it's going to happen. But in Matthew 24, it says this, verse 36, "No one knows that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." Look who Jesus said knows about the second coming, God the Father. God the Father knows, not even the angels, not the Son. So anytime you read a book about this is when the second coming is going to happen, just know that it's wrong if it's from human standpoint. Now, we can get some clues, but ultimately, it's God's answer. And he says, it's really none of our business. What is our business? That's a good question. What is our business here right now? Our business is to share the gospel. There was a group back in the 80s called White Heart. Nobody's probably here has even heard of them. We listened to them in the youth group. They had a song called Maybe Today, Maybe Tomorrow. I looked it up this morning, and basically it says this. It may be today, it may be tomorrow, but that's not the question for me. My job is to share the good news of Christ, the salvation that he offers with everyone I meet. Because it may be today, it may be tomorrow, but that's not the question. The question is, am I doing what God's called me to do? Great song. If you look it up, it's hard to find it, but you might be able to find those lyrics. Great one. It says this in Acts chapter 1. "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you are to be my witness to the ends of the world." That's our job. That's our business. So then, how should we respond during war? Number 5 right there. If there's 4 things under here, we'll kind of run through these. First of all, pray. Pray. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says, "First of all, pray for kings and all others who are in authority that we may live in a quiet and peaceful life." We are to pray for our leaders. We are to pray for those who are making decisions. For our president, for generals, for Congress, for leaders around the world. We ought to pray for our soldiers, the men and women who are out there. The Bible says we ought to pray for our enemies as well. That's a tougher one. We ought to pray that they will have a change of heart. I did a wedding a couple weeks ago. And I'll just say this. This is beautiful. It was a beautiful moment because the bride had grown up in what I would call a cult. Not a Christian group, it was a cult. And she got saved. Her life turned around, trusting in Christ. The young man, the groom, was from Pakistan. He was a former Muslim who's become a Christian. And here they were coming together, getting married as husband and wife. And I wish you could have been there to hear their words that they shared with one another about how their faith in Christ had transformed them, not only as individuals, but now as a couple. Amazing. That's what God can do. And in all of these situations, when we pray for people to have a change of heart. Number 2 is trust in God. To trust God. Psalm, all the way through, we see trusting God. Psalm 27 says, "The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Though an army besiege me and war break out against me, even then I will be confident." And while we pray for our soldiers, we accept the fact that when war happens, there will be injuries and casualties. And we pray for those. We pray for the families of those who have had losses through the years. So we are to pray and trust God, realizing that God can be counted upon, trusting in Him. Number three, to seek peace. You say, well, how do I do that to make a difference in the world? You know what? If you're getting along peacefully with your next door neighbor, you're doing really well. If you get along peacefully with the people in your classroom at school, you're doing pretty well. If you get along peacefully with the folks you work with, the people who in your family get along peacefully, you're making advances. That's right. It's tough to live at peace, to be an example for others, to be an example. Look what it says in Psalm 34. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Seeking peace means do whatever you can to bring about peace. Not just be a mediator, be a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker. I think that not only between nations, but also between individuals. In church, if you have something that you need to ask somebody, you know, I need to apologize, I need to ask forgiveness, that's something we ought to do, to share with those folks. William Temple wrote this: we Christians in war are called to the hardest task of all, to fight without hatred, to resist without bitterness, and in the end, if God so grants it, triumph without vindictiveness. Seek peace. Think about the Christian soldiers, sailors, Marines that are out there trying to live their faith out, but also having to deal with that conflict. And then number four, to support each other. In a crisis time, the church really shows itself as a family. Look at this verse in Galatians chapter 6. Carry each other's burden. Fulfill the law of Christ. We are to help one another in these times. We have tough things happen every day. Do we support each other and help each other? We have some pictures, I thought, as we were looking back over the years. We think about Jesus and the freedom He brings us, and the lesson we learned by those who sacrificed. But we have some photos. I got thinking about it. I said, you know, we go back and we look World War II and Korea. Who of our military have died recently? We found some names. First picture up, Joe. These three died in Jordan back in January. A drone strike. William Rivers, Kennedy Sanders, and Brianna Moffitt, all from Georgia. Next one that comes up, two Navy SEALs. They were in, I think, the Gulf of Oman or over there near Yemen and Iran, and there was a shipment of weapons that they were trying to intercept, and the two of them were lost. That was Navy Special Operator First Class Christopher Chambers and Navy Special Operator Second Class Nathan Ingram. Now, before you put this next one up, Joe, we're reminded that there's a battle going on in the world, but there's also a huge spiritual battle as well. Do you realize how many Christians are martyred around the world? I saw a horrible message that came through yesterday talking about there was a representative out of Missouri whose son and daughter-in-law are missionaries in Haiti. Joe, bring that picture up. This young couple this week were killed, full-time missionaries in Haiti. A gang came in. They had just finished a youth Bible study. Gang came in, shot up the place, and killed them. We think we have it tough sometimes. We have it pretty easy here. We need to be thankful for the freedom we have to worship. We also need to remember those who have made the ultimate sacrifice. So as we come to our commitment time, we're going to pray in just a second, but this again, a time as you take that communion, you remember Jesus' sacrifice for us. Also, you may want to just, maybe there's a name of a family you know that's had a loss. You want to just put that name on the cross. You can take that pen and that paper, just nail it to the cross. You may want to come down here and pray. You may want to just stay right there and sing. And there's a connect card in your bulletin. That connect card, we don't talk about it as much maybe as we should, but you can put prayer concerns on there. You can put your contact information on there that we can get in touch, find out what we need to do as far as ministry. So let us know how we can help out. Let us pray, and then we'll have our commitment time. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for this time of commitment. As we have seen the sacrifice of those in our military, those who are missionaries around the world. Some of us right in this room have lost loved ones this past year or two and still dealing with grief. Remind us that we have a freedom to worship and to witness and to lift each other up, to encourage one another. Lord, there may be someone that's not here today that you just lay that person on our heart that we'll call them or send them a text and let them know that we miss them here in our worship family at Grace Point. Lord, we thank you for this church and what it means. And this is your time now, this time of commitment. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Title said, Nobody Loves Me. And then I had to add the next line in, you know, Nobody Loves Me like Jesus. So today, one quick announcement. I know next week we'll be honoring the graduates. So if you haven't given us a name yet, let us know that. And Lori, is your hand up or is it stuck?
No, I want to just remind everybody this Thursday is our James Island Outreach Program. We would love for you to come volunteer. Be there at 9 o'clock. Right over here on Camp Road.
Yes.
Not far from Walgreens.
It's at St. James Episcopal, right?
St. James Episcopal.
Yeah, I got to go last time, had a great time over there. I'm the worst worker, though, so they need better workers than me. So come on over and help us out. All right. Get ready for graduation week next week. And Jason, we got one more tune, right? Let's do it.
All right, let's stand up and sing one more.
So welcome back, Steve and Debbie from Alaska. Yes, coming back in. Now, Steve, I know you were excited today and you heard I was preaching. Did I say anything funny today at all? Not really, did I? So I got one I'm going to try and see what happens. A pastor, a priest, and a rabbit walked into Walmart. Is that enough? That wasn't it. That wasn't the end of it. And the cashier asked the rabbit, what would you like? And the rabbit said, I don't know. I'm only here because of autocorrect. Somebody, see, yeah, delayed. There you go. So, all right. Let us pray as we go. All right. You like that one?
I do.
All right. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time together. We do look out and just remember the great freedom that we have. Help us to have a time with our family, our friends, a reflective time to remember and be thankful. We thank you for Jesus and his sacrifice most of all. We pray it in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen. Amen.